me ask you this then, Tony, from your perspective, from the time you started till now, give me the percentage of the player's portfolio when it comes to the week of the draft that is now coming out of the combine. Is it as little as 5%? Is it 10%? I mean, most of the work is done on these guys before the combine anyway,
right, right.
But how much work can be done now that it's
right.
become more
question.
Of a deal instead right. of a real
What happens
thing.
is, you know, NFL Network, they watch the 40s, they watch the vertical jump, the position drills. The most important aspect are the medicals.
Right.
Okay. And you don't see that, obviously, because of HIPAA rules and other things. So what will happen is when the teams get the medical grades, you know, from the fact that these guys are back there, their legs are being pulled on, they're being MRI'd, they're being x-rayed.
Nobody wants to see that anyway, to
no,
be honest.
But it is the most important aspect of it.
True.
I mean, we saw Luda Lely a couple of years ago who had a sort of a heart condition. You know, they were concerned about that, went from a top five pick to middle round one pick. It turned out to be nothing. But, you know, I don't want to put a percentage on it, because if a highly rated guy is medically red flagged and they go back to high school, I mean, that, a highly rated guy could fall into the late rounds there was a kid, Brian Manville, from a very good tight end from Northeastern about 10 years ago, had to retire because they found something here. So, you know, what percentage is it? It's all dependent on the medicals, and then come the interviews. Because the interviews are very important, because they're going to ask some very hard, challenging questions. And if they don't think the kids are honest, or they don't get the answer that they want, kid's going to plummet.
And now we've seen some stuff going on the field, Tony. Today they're having the offensive lineman run the 40-yard dash, which really is meaningless. How often in a football game do linemen have to run 40 yards at a time? They do keep track of the 10-yard splits, right. which are a little bit more important. But anything stick out to you, either from what you've seen on the field, on the bench press, or what you've seen in measurements that could have some type of impact on certain players' draft stock?
Measurements, not so much yet, except for the fact that Myles Garrett really looks the part.
Oh, boy.
We know he plays the part if you watch him the last 3 years on film, but he looks the part, and he's got, I think he was 6'5", just under 280 pounds. He's got great growth potential. You know, when teams see that, you know, looking at a terrific 4-3 defensive end, maybe a guy who could eventually turn into a Bruce Smith type as a two-gap end and a 3-4, you know, that sort of versatility. You know, he's got the great athleticism. I thought Garrett Bowles also did a terrific job here today. Was one of the few offensive linemen to run under 5. Not a big deal, but it shows his athleticism. You know, it's proof of his athleticism. Was very good in position drills. So Garrett Bowles was definitely the premier left tackle coming into the week. You know, maybe now he has moved into that top 15, potentially top 12, because he's such a tremendous pass blocker. He's such a good athlete. He's got to get stronger. But getting stronger is the easy part, as opposed to just the athleticism.
See, I thought the one you might talk about would be the running backs, because P. Ryan lifted an incredible amount on the bench press, more than even most of the offensive linemen did. And McCaffrey was really on the low end of the bench press. I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter about that this morning.
And that's fine, but you know, with the running backs, also with the offensive linemen, you want to see what their shuttle times are, what their three cone times are. You know, the 40 time is important. But, you know, in any football game, you rarely run 40 yards in a straight line.
Yeah.
It's the lateral movement skill. So, yeah, P. Ryan, that was a nice mark. But, again, you know, the bench press is more, you know, an endurance sort of thing as opposed to a pure power sort of exercise. You want to see the shuttle times, the three cone times. And when you watch the running backs later today, you know, they do drills where they're running in and out of the cones. You know, are they smooth running in and out of the cones, or do they have to gather and stop and change directions? So that's what you're looking for.
As we move forward here, Tony, anybody that you're really fascinated to see do some of these drills where some guys, where you've seen on tape, maybe from a smaller school or something like that, where they need to prove something to you to really help your analysis of them when you create your final big board for the draft?
Yeah, Jordan Morgan of Kutztown State, who ran okay in the 40, offensive lineman, a guy who is a terrific athlete, but, you know, played at Division II. He's got to do well during the position drills. You know, you want to see the testing scores, but you want to see that he could basically stay with the big boys as far as the position drills are concerned. So Ethan Cooper from Indiana, Pennsylvania earlier today didn't run really fast, but the fact is he was terrific in drills. I mean, he's got an offensive lineman's build, very thick lower body, but the way he moved, the quickness, the smoothness, you're like, you know what, this guy has got starting potential down the road in an NFL system. He may take a little while to get there, has to get used to the competition. You want to get him in an NFL weight training program, but I thought Cooper did really well.
It's interesting you mentioned a guy from D2, because for so many years there was a prejudice against even the FCS guys.
Right.
And it seems to me now the flow of information is just so detailed and so much, that's kind of going away now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then you have guys who just can't get into some of the top D1 schools. So they spend their careers at a D2 school. Listen, they will look anywhere for good football players. I mean, you've got guys from Canada coming down who are now, you know, causing an impact and doing a good job. One who just signed a huge contract the other day with the Kansas City Chiefs. They will go anywhere. One of the kids from Texas A&M, an offensive lineman, a former rugby player, I believe, from Australia. I mean, you know, they will go anywhere to get good football players.
And you mentioned a couple of the smaller school guys, and you mentioned the FCS program, Paul. Two guys that we have a couple of fans asked me about on Twitter, wanted me to ask a couple of your draft guys about over the course of the week. Zay Jones and Cooper Kupp, two of the guys that we saw at the Senior Bowl. What's your thoughts on them? What do you think you need to see from them this weekend, and where do you think they're eventually going to fall in the draft?
Well, Zay Jones, East Carolina, it's not really a small school, but want to see how fast he is. I mean, he made a lot of big plays down the field at East Carolina. He catches everything that's thrown in his direction. Want to see if he's got that speed, that 40 time, that 10 time. Does he have is he a legitimate vertical receiver, or was it just he beat up on competition in the American Athletic Conference? A little bit more, same thing with the Cooper Kupp. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, like Zay Jones, caught everything, terrific route runner. People have talked about Cooper Kupp late first round. I don't think so. But again, what is his 40 time? He made a lot of plays down the field at Eastern Washington on a 1AA level. You know, is that legit speed, or is it just an exploitation of a lesser, of smaller competition?
I want to ask you about quarterbacks, because everybody we've had in this chair over the last couple of days, we're talking to them about what is a thin quarterback crop. Right. You've got a couple of guys up top, understood. But then after that, it seems to really be a dart game. And so many folks think the Giants need to find the next franchise quarterback behind Eli Manning. I'm not so sure they get one in this draft.
I don't think so either. I mean, unless a guy like Davis Webb happens to fall to him around two, which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, maybe they take a flyer in the last day on a guy like Robert Dobbs of Tennessee. Terrific athlete, big arm, but needs a lot of work on his mechanics to improve his accuracy. They may get a quarterback. You know, I don't think they're getting the quarterback of their future or after the guy who's going to replace Eli Manning in the 2017 draft.
When you take a look at that position, one of the player people have mentioned, I know he was pretty highly rated come into the season, then he had a bit of a disappointing year in Miami, Brad Kaya, the quarterback. Your thoughts on him and where he might fall out and what you want to see from him this weekend?
You know, I never had Kaya rated higher than a late second, early third round pick off of my summer film work, and then he had a bad junior season, and he entered the draft, so he compounded that problem.
Why do you think he entered the draft after a bad junior year? Why not stay another year to try to clean that up?
You know, sometimes it's the coaching. A lot of his receivers left. Some of his offensive linemen left. He figures, you know, next year he got his shoulder injury. This year, what's it going to be like next year? Sometimes it's financial issues. I had heard it was more he was concerned about the talent on the offensive side of the ball that was leaving. That doesn't mean you leave, though. I mean, you're off a bad year. You know, what do I want to see from him? I want to see some zip and some speed on his deeper throws, because when you watch Brad Kaya throw, spreads the ball around, he's accurate in the short and intermediate field, but when he throws those deep passes, they hang in the air for a long time. And you can get away with that on Saturday. You try and do it on Sunday, it's going to end up in a deflected or defended pass or even an interception. So he's got to show more arm strength. He's a last day pick. He's a developmental guy. Okay. He's someone who you're going to have to get into a weight training program, hopefully improve his arm strength. And there's always, he gets a little bit foggy between the ears. And sometimes that can never be panned out. That can never be improved.
What's your thought on Ramczyk, who's got the medical issue because of the hip deal? We talked to him yesterday. In fact, we were over by the podium with him, John. And, of course, he says everything's great and he's going to be fine. He'll be a full participant, expects to start opening day for whoever takes him. There's a lot of questions still about him.
And there's questions about his play. I mean, if you watch him on film, he's good in spurts. But the fact is when I broke him down on film, I said, this guy's not NFL ready. This guy is not going to be a day one starter. He looks like he has a soft body because, you know, he bounced around from college to college, was only in Wisconsin for 1 year. You got to get him into a weight training program. He gets a little bit funky with his mechanics at times, plays a little bit narrow base, so he's all over the place. You know, he's a guy who could be very good 2 or 3 years down the road. But he's got some downside risk. I've said all along, you know, he's a late first-round pick. I would not expect him to start as a rookie unless you have to force him in there. And even then, there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road.
So you think that there is a differentiation and a fairly large one, if you want a left tackle in this draft, Bowles to Ramczyk?
Massive. I mean, Bowles could be a top 12 pick. Ramczyk is a late first-round pick at that. And, you know, Bowles, I think, can be a day one starter and is a premier left tackle. Ramczyk is going to need some time before he's really ready to be a consistent NFL player.
Are you in the camp? I'm sorry. Are you in the camp that says Robinson from Alabama should be a guard?
I'm in a camp that says he's not a left tackle. Now, whether he's a guard or whether he's a right tackle, right. I don't know. I think my own belief is you put a guy at tackle until he proves he can't play tackle right. because it's such a priority position. It's such an important position. So if he can prove that he can play the right tackle spot, you leave him there. He's done well so far in the early going during his workout. He's stiff. He doesn't have great footwork. You know, right tackle, complete praise guard, not a left tackle.
Zeroing in on where the Giants pick at 23, Tony, it's impossible to project a player. If you want to, feel free. But where do you think the quality of this draft, the depth of this draft, what type of position do you think would make sense for the Giants to get value for where they're going at number 23?
They're in a pretty good position, I believe. I think they can get a good tight end. I mean, I know people say, well, they usually don't do it. Well, they need a good tight end would help Eli Manning.
You think Howard will be there?
Depends on how he interviews. And the reason I say this is because there are two different O.J. Howards. The one at the Senior Bowl looked like a dead drop top 10 pick. He was a dominant blocker. He was a tremendous pass catcher. But when I watched his senior film, I saw a guy who was very uninterested in finishing blocks. You know, sometimes he was playing half speed.
You're the second guy that said that okay? to us this weekend.
And he wasn't very active in the passing game, although Alabama's a running team. And you got to wonder why he didn't play every down during his senior year like he did at the Senior Bowl. So I think there is some downside risk there. You know, if the Giants get him at 20, if he falls to 22, the Giants take him and they get him to play at his uppermost level, that could be one of the steals of the draft, no doubt in my mind, because he's got the size, the speed, the strength. He looks like a fluid possession receiver running down the field, and he can block. I mean, he's a very good blocker. It's just a matter of him applying that.
I want to follow up. The other tight end people have talked about is David Njoku out of Miami. Do you think he can develop into a good enough blocker, if not a dominant one? We know what kind of athlete he is.
Right. He's not a bad blocker at all. And, you know, he's just got to get stronger. He's only a redshirt sophomore, so you know he's not physically all that mature compared to the rest of the guys. You know, when he blocks, O.J. Howard can block when he wants to. When I watch Njoku on film, he's giving that effort to block.
I agree
he
with that.
He blocks with good fundamentals.
He's just very rarely on the line to do it, right?
And he doesn't have a big body of work. You know, he doesn't have a big body. He's only a redshirt sophomore. So, you know, with Njoku, the effort is there. The underlying athleticism is there. It's just that the experience isn't there. And the ability, you know, being in an Alabama weight training program for 4 years, as O.J. Howard was, as opposed to being at Miami for 3 years, the way Njoku is, there's going to be a difference there. Njoku, if you take him, I think he's a situational player as a rookie in the NFL. But if he applies himself and all the indicators are, you know, he's a hardworking guy, he could be a very good starter down the road.
Tony, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Good luck the rest of the week and have some fun. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Pauling, DraftAnalyst.com.